We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the New York Daily News, covers the NFL, Manish Mehta. Manish, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Never a dull moment with this 1-5 team.
Yeah. Well, yes, never a dull moment with your team, never a dull moment with this team. I remember in the preseason we had you on, Manish, and we all thought the Jets would be pretty good, the Browns would be pretty good. Right now they both stink.
I have no knowledge of that conversation or any predictions I made.
We're going to forget the preseason predictions. We're going to ignore that.
Well, the prediction had to do with Sam Darnold playing in the game, actually.
Well,
the Browns, so.
I'm not bringing it up to make fun of anybody.
No, I know.
It's the point that it's gone wrong for whatever reason for both teams so far. It's hard to believe how bad it's been, right?
Well, the Jets have the built-in excuse.
They do.
Darnold didn't play for three games. What's Cleveland's excuse?
There's no excuse. I'll tell you, here's the problem, Manish. They're making excuses. I don't know if you heard Baker Mayfield's comments today. He basically said, we know we're not going to get the calls, especially this week. And that's ridiculous to make that comment.
You know, this is what I say, that losers can find excuses around every corner. They're readily available. If you want to grab an excuse, go ahead and take it. You know who doesn't make excuses? Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, winners. Winners adapt. The Patriots have had a lot of injuries this year. You don't hear them complaining. You know, just being out here in New York, I can't go a day without someone whining about this Jet player being hurt or that Jet player being sick. It's just a mindset. And, you know, I thought that the Browns were over that hurdle, but maybe not. Maybe, you know, they're kind of lapsing back into that loser's mentality.
Well, I think when you have a first-year head coach who is going to say some things and show his frustration, you know, he's got obviously an ego and, you know, the way things have gone to this point, you know, it's not been perfect, obviously. I mean, when the coach complains about the officiating, then players complain about officiating, there's no surprise because it's coming from the leader of your franchise. And so that's my concern with this team right now is that they're kind of a soft team right now, Manish. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to harden up here and they're going to become a team that can fight through adversity or not. But to this point, I mean, they've been a below average football team. You know,
yeah, they look terrible.
You
know, the offensive line is probably has a lot to do with that, and because the offensive line isn't good, Baker doesn't look good. You know, Baker Mayfield is not as bad as he has shown.
No,
he is playing so incredibly poorly. I am surprised. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to be an exceptional player entering the NFL, but he showed enough flashes last year for me to think that, you know, he can be a difference maker, just like Sam Darnold can be a difference maker. At least you've seen some flashes from Darnold. It didn't happen, of course, on Monday night, but the week before he was a top player of the week because of the way he played against Dallas. Baker just kind of looks lost, and you know, I don't want to say it's just because of the offensive line. Certainly the play calling, the play design has something to do with it, and I don't know if you guys have discussed it. I'm sure you have. But frankly, I'm a little bit surprised that they haven't allowed Todd Monken to be the play caller. I'm not saying he can be an elixir or anything of that magnitude, but I think that, you know, Freddie might be better served kind of overseeing the organization instead of kind of worrying about the play calling in game.
You may be right in the long run, Manish, but I think if you change the plan this early, to me that's an indictment on the coach to some degree, that he thought he could handle it and then all of a sudden 6 weeks in you change the plan. I wouldn't like that, to be honest. Maybe in the off season, but I think that would say
a little bit of panic mode.
Yeah,
right?
Really. That's how I feel about it.
It might be a panic move on the surface, but you do want to make the correct decision for the betterment of your team. If that means taking a step back from being the play caller and being the CEO of your team, I think you need to do it. I mean, just look how Monken came about in Tampa. You know, their head coach had to relent play calling duties, and things really took off from there. And I think it's probably just me saying this because I think Monken is one of the better play callers in the league. I think he'll be a head coach next year. And people might say, how could that be? Because the Browns are struggling. Who would want to hire him? But I think he's going to have a real chance of being a head coach next year.
We're talking with Manish Mehta of the Daily News. Mitch, let's go back to the Jets here for a minute, because obviously a big deal got made about the Sam Darnold comment they got on TV with him saying seeing ghosts. You know, some people are mad that that got out there. You think it's a big deal or no big deal for Darnold going forward that got out there?
I don't think it's any kind of big deal for Darnold. Now, I do side with the team in this one in that there's supposed to be a shared trust and understanding between NFL films and teams. It's not as if the New York Daily News mic'd up Sam Darnold and we're going to run with whatever he says.
Right.
If you agree to have your player mic'd up for a primetime game, you're really trusting the NFL films and the league to not put that player in a compromising position or paint him in an unflattering light, because the rules are that a quarterback and a head coach have to be mic'd up for at least one game. However, if you mic up that player or that coach for a 1 o'clock Sunday game, NFL Films is not going to dole out what was said until later in the week, you know, for whatever programs that they have. So the team has more autonomy and time to kind of vet through everything. But because of these Sunday night games and these Monday night games, they turn around these clips pretty fast. So you're trusting that NFL Films is not going to put something out there that people can mock. And that's really what this is about, because the notion of a player, a frustrated quarterback saying he's seeing ghosts, isn't any kind of revelation. Quarterback players, they say that all the time. It means a lot of different things, and a lot worse things and more inflammatory things are said on the sideline. But I think if you're a team and you're allowing your player to be mic'd up, you know, in this particular type of situation, you don't want that stuff going out there, because all day, yesterday and for the better part of today, I've seen all these memes of Sam Darnold being put into the movie Sixth Sense saying that he sees dead people, which is funny. It makes for a great conversation. We're talking about.
Yeah.
No, I just think it's unfortunate. But yeah. In terms of, you know, that having kind of any kind of tangible impact on Darnold, no, that's not going to have any kind of real impact.
Manish, you know, obviously the Patriots were very aggressive in attacking Sam Darnold in that offensive front on Monday night. Do you consider that the game plan to be a similar game plan, I should say, against Cleveland on Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. Partly because the offensive line that Cleveland has is weak, and partly because that's what Bill Belichick is doing this year. He's showing six or seven guys at the line of scrimmage. Sometimes he's bringing off six or seven, and sometimes he's bringing four, and he's dropping two or three guys. And the Jets offensive line and Darnold just could not diagnose who was coming, who was dropping. That led to so many free runners. And, you know, it's a aggressive strategy because, you know, if you can properly identify who's coming and block it up, you're going to have man coverage. And if your guys can beat man coverage, you're going to win a lot of games. You're going to win a lot of battles. And that's why I think it's really interesting with Cleveland, because the Jets clearly don't have the man beaters like Cleveland that does. Obviously, you put Odell Beckham in man coverage. I'll take my chances with Odell Beckham all day long. The question is, you know, will Baker Mayfield have enough time to get it to Odell Beckham? It doesn't have to be a long developing route, but just getting the ball out of his hand was difficult for Sam Darnold. And again, they don't have those dynamic skill position players. So I don't think you're going to see Bill Belichick change what he likes to do philosophically. I think you're going to see him change a bunch of, you know, details, but he's going to show a lot of pressure, and you're going to have to try to figure out whether he's going to bring it. And if he doesn't bring it, who's going to drop in coverage?
We're talking with Manish Mehta from the Daily News. Manish, I don't know how much interaction you've had over the years with Bill Belichick, but, you know, he always seems so surly, especially when he's doing, you know, the Boston media. But we heard some of the conference call he did with our media, and maybe because it wasn't the guys that are talking to him all the time, he was a little slightly better. It seems
more pleasant.
Yeah. Can you have a good conversation with him at all, one on one? Is that possible? Have you done it?
I have never had a one-on-one conversation with him. What I will say is that he can be very thorough and informative if you ask him, quote-unquote, the right question,
right,
explanatory type of question. He's great about football history, but just from an X's and O's standpoint, he's really good at giving details. That's why, you know, I've always thought, and I still believe, I don't know how he feels about it, but when he's done coaching, whenever that time comes, I think he would be terrific on TV, which is the ultimate irony, since he's such a sourpuss at these press conferences. But he's very good at explaining, you know, football X's and O's. He's not good at, you know, getting into some of the stuff that grabs headlines per se. But, you know, there's a lot there. And I've always admired him for this reason. It's very difficult to put on the act that he has put on. over the last 20 years. Not saying very much is probably harder than saying too much publicly.
True. That's a good point.
You know, Manish, I know that you cover the Jets, but you weren't obviously you cover New York teams. Odell Beckham is here, and he's not getting a ton of targets, and he's not putting up the big numbers. How much longer do you think he'll be able to not show his frustration if the Browns continue to lose?
That's a great question. Look, I think he's happy that he's got a quarterback who's got the arm strength to get him the ball in the routes that he likes to run. So I don't think he's going to throw people under the bus. Maybe I'm naive. I think he's genuinely happy to play with Baker Mayfield or a player with Baker Mayfield's skill set and potential. So the frustration from losing, you know, that flows from everyone, not just Odell Beckham. But I wouldn't anticipate anything, you know, outrageous if the Browns continue losing. And again, maybe I'm just being naive, but I think that a lot of his frustration coming from New York stemmed from the fact that he knew that he was open and open a lot, but the quarterback couldn't get the ball.
Manish, the last we got the trade deadline coming up next week. They've moved it back, obviously, the last couple of years, and we've seen a lot more trades. I would like to move back even further. I think we'd even see more, but you know, GMs have gotten more aggressive. We've seen a bunch of trades already. Obviously, the Browns are talking to teams about an offensive line. You think we'll still see some significant trades in the next week?
I think there's more sellers than buyers. And just from talking to people around the league on different teams, there are a lot of teams who are out of contention who would like to get some 2020 draft capital. That includes the Jets. If they could sell off Leonard Williams, Robbie Anderson, maybe a Jordan Jenkins even, for the right price, they would do it. It's just a matter of what the right price is, because when you're talking about guys who are impending free agents,
yeah,
there's a chance you're going to get a compensatory pick, but that compensatory pick doesn't land in your lap until 2021. So for the Jets, for example, Joe Douglas, he wants to rebuild this team in his liking sooner rather than later. So I think he'd like to get some 2020 compensation rather than kind of let some of these guys walk in free agency and get something the year after.
I actually think Robbie Anderson on a good team with a good quarterback could be pretty effective. What do you think?
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah. They're trying to diversify his portfolio, running different types of routes. I just don't know what the price tag is for him.
He's
going to be restricted next year. Would you give him a fourth-round pick for him? I think if you give him a fourth-round pick, the Jets would consider trading him strongly. But on the flip side, as you said, he's a good player. If they can get him on a team-friendly extension, I don't think they'd be averse to that either.
Yeah. Manish, good stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Manish Mehta, The Daily News.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.